Will, please, and we're going to be turning to Mark chapter 10. Began a message, well, actually a series of messages last week. Appreciate you being here this morning, and unless something really, really, really crazy, everything starts this afternoon early. If there's any questions, the easiest thing to do is just to call the machine at the church. Just call the church number, 292-5000. But they say the snow's not coming in until later, so we're going to go on that. That's my game plan. I was going to say something, but I'll get to that a little later here. But anyway, good to have you this morning. This Mark chapter 10, if you will. I'm going to read the whole part. We're really not using this scripture this morning, but I wanted you to see the context of the scripture I am using, and we will get to this. But we're talking about our theme this year. With God, all things are possible. Key word, two words, with God. In fact, I saw in the newspaper this morning in Viewpoint, it says, Pennsylvania is an idea that all things are possible. But I got a good feeling they wouldn't dare say, with God, all things are possible. What they're saying there is with man, with people, with our determination, with the indomitable American spirit. And I'm American, don't get me wrong, and I'm patriotic, and I'm glad for America. But America's great because America was good, and as the old philosopher said, he said, when America ceases to be good, America will cease to be great. And I hate to say it, I'm afraid we're on that side of the coin here. But it says, Pennsylvania's an idea that all things are possible. Well, all things are possible. With God. With God. Let's read here chapter 10 of Mark, verse number 17. When he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him, verse 17, and said, asked him, good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? By the way, I did not orchestrate this, but that's where we are in Matthew. I don't know whether you picked up on that. On Wednesday night, I didn't do that on purpose. Wasn't even thinking about it. And all of a sudden, bang, we're in the same basic passage, once in Matthew and once in Mark, but this is where we are. God probably orchestrated something there we need to know. Verse 18, and Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one. Remember that. There's none good but one, and that is God. But I tell you what, we think about that statement will put us in our place too. Verse 19, thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and mother. And he answered and said unto him, master, all these have I observed from my youth. Boy, he thinks he's really pretty good, doesn't he? My guess is he did not always honor his mother and father exactly perfectly. But anyway, he's claiming to, hey, I got this down. Verse 21, then Jesus, beholding him, he looked at him, loved him, told him something he probably didn't want to hear, but he had to tell him truth, looked on him and beholding him, loved him and said unto him, one thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, take up the cross and follow me. He said, well, you think you're good. Well, there's only one good, that's God. So as soon as you measure up to God, then you're good. See what I'm saying? Jesus left all, took up his cross, and came and took our sin upon him and gave us salvation. Anytime we start saying, well, I can earn, what can I do to inherit eternal life? What he's saying is, I can measure up to God. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. And for me to think that I can do something and inherit eternal life is saying that I can come to the point that I'm as good as God. There's a problem there. Verse 22, and he was sad at that saying and went away grieved. And he had great possessions. Jesus looked around about and saith unto his disciples, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? And disciples were astonished at his words, but Jesus answered again and said unto them, Children, how hard it is for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God. Because trusting in riches is not what gets us in the kingdom of God. Trust in Christ is what gets us in the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And they were astonished, out of measure, saying among themselves, Well, who then can be saved? Nobody. Jesus looking upon them saying, With men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible. Last week we spent some time talking about the attributes of God. And again, we're talking about these two words, with God. And last week we talked about the God part. Today we're going to talk about the with part. And I'm going to title this message this morning, Walking with God. Walking with God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for your word. We thank you for speaking to us. I thank you for what you're doing in the hearts of our people. Now, Lord, we're all a work in progress. I'm a work in progress. We're all a work in progress. But thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness. Because nothing is impossible with you. Because with you, all things are possible. Not just salvation. The fact is, you can grow us and you can sanctify us. You can separate us. You can do a work in our heart that only you can do. Now, Lord, I pray that you'll speak to our hearts here this morning. I don't know all the needs are, but you know what they are. And so, Lord, I pray that you'll work in a great way. We'll give you the praise for it in Christ's name. Amen. The Bible's very clear that with God, all things are possible. With God, nothing is impossible because nothing is too hard for the Lord. Now, again, we like the phrase, all things are possible. But we cannot claim the all things are possible unless we're also willing to admit that it's with God all things are possible. It's quite a powerful statement. It's quite a claim. All things are possible is a thought that most of us would like to believe. The problem is that many of us want to claim the promise, but we do want to do so without fulfilling the prerequisite. Things happen in our life and things are going on. We're having issues and so forth. And we'll say, well, with God, all things are possible. Now, hang on. But then our heart kind of smites us, as the Bible says. Our heart kind of melts. And there's this doubt that shows up in our heart. And I'll tell you why. There's doubts that show up because they know that the phrase is, with God, all things are possible. And then, so when we say all things are possible, the first thing that goes to our mind is, okay, but are we with God? Well, I'm saved. Good. That's the first step. You can't be with God unless you know Christ as your Savior. You've admitted yourself a sinner. You know that you're a sinner headed for hell, the devil's hell. But you know that Jesus Christ died and paid for all your sin. And you're trusting that payment for as your full salvation. You're trusting that. Amen. That's good. But the fact is, are you walking with Him? You may have Him in your heart, but are you seeing Him work in your life? Are you walking with Him? I believe that many Christians are not living according to the promise that with God all things are possible because many Christians do not live with God. Yes, God is everywhere and thus He is with us, yet many do not practice the presence of God. Let me just turn here just for a moment. If you want to turn with me, it's a few verses. John chapter 14. John chapter 14. Of course, this is when Christ is about ready to be crucified and He's talking to His disciples. In verse number 11, John 14, 11 says, Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Now, we stop right there. And you know what we say? All right, I'm going to pray a prayer, and then I'm going to say, in Jesus' name, he has to do it. Now, don't raise your hand, but I'll guarantee you almost everybody in this room has prayed a prayer, ended it in Jesus' name, and it didn't happen. Well, that's what it said. No. Read the rest of the verse. It's not the next verse here. It's not about just plugging his name on it. You've heard me say this, but the fact is, just do something in his name is to say that I'm doing something that he would sign his name to. I'm praying for something that he wants, that I know he wants, because he wrote it down. Too many people have forged checks headed to heaven. We wrote out a check, this is what I want, and we signed his name to it. And it may not have been his will for it. In fact, look at the next verse. Well, I'll be back up. Verse 14 says, ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Well, good. If you love me, keep my commandments. What? What does that have to do with what we just talked about? They must have missed a verse in there too. I guess the translators missed something, or something got lost in the manuscript. No. God's preserved his words forever settled in heaven. So these two verses are supposed to come one right after the other. And here it is. He puts together asking in his name along with keeping his commandments. Verse 16, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. See, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you, Jesus is saying. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me. Because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in the Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments, watch, and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest, show myself to him. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it thou wilt manifest thyself unto us, and not unto the world? And Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my commandments. And my Father will love him. And he will come unto him and make our, interesting, I love that word, our abode, the Trinity, our abode with him. He that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings. And the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father which sent me. These things have I spoken to you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. One more verse. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. What's he saying? You want to have the promise that whatsoever you ask, you'll have it? It has to do with keeping his commandments and seeking his will. If you're not walking close enough to him to know his will, then how can you sign his name to it? You can't. All things are possible with God. And are we walking with God? Now, last week we found out that God's omnipresent. He never leaves us nor forsakes us. But also we can't escape his presence either. Well, I'm walking with God. I got this little thing on the side here, but he's not noticing that part. Yes, he is. You can't pretend with God. Listen, you can't lie to God and tell him that you were one place when you were really someplace else. You might be able to lie to your wife. You might be able to lie to your husband. You might be able to lie to your boss, but you're not going to lie to God. He was there when you were there. And he's going to deal accordingly. He's not going to deal with you according to what everybody else thinks you did. He's going to deal according to what he knows you did in your heart. If a man look upon a woman, he's committed adultery already in his heart. How's God going to deal with us? According to what has happened in our heart. He's omniscient. He knows it all. Even our hearts. In fact, he knows our hearts better than we know our hearts. He's omnipotent. He can do anything that needs to be done. He can do all things, even run our lives if we'll let him. He's eternal. He's not going to wear out. He's not some little old man just sitting on the chair there in a rocking chair in heaven, just trying to hang on till the end of the world or something. He's just as powerful and mighty today as he was the day when the earth the foundations of earth were laid. He's eternal. Before the mountains were, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God, Psalm 90 says. And he's immutable. Malachi 3:6, for I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. I love that. He said, you know why you guys aren't, I haven't already gotten rid of you all? Because I'm the Lord and I change not. I told you I love you and that won't change. And that's not like the preacher who told his wife, he said, when I told you, when we got married, I told you I love you. If it changes, I'll let you know. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the fact is God's character does not change. Number one this morning, I'm going to talk just a moment about God's character. We've been singing about God's character. God's character, which changes not. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on any of these because I got a long way to want to go this morning. But first thing God's character is, he's love. Now, he's righteous and holy. We're going to get there. But the fact is, why could we ask and expect him to answer our prayer? Why is with God all things are possible? Why would he even consider to condescend to anything we even think? Because God is love. Beloved, let us love one another, 1 John says, chapter 4. For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God's words, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation, the amends maker for our sins. His love is proven by the gift of his Son. Look at this. God has the ability to love any of us, even as the song we sang this morning, the most defiled. Paul said, all men are sinners of whom I am chief. By the way, the closer you get to the light of the Lord, the more you're going to realize what a sinner you are. You've heard me say that. I know some of you folks have heard me say that. When I go down to the sore conference, years ago we were in this one particular hotel, and you walk in there and they had these lights around the mirror in the bathroom. And I don't know what kind of lights they were, but when you walk up there, every gray hair became a neon sign. Ah, old, 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 old. Every wrinkle became a quarter inch deep. Now, I'm only 54 years old. On my soul, I'm not old yet. I think I feel like I'm supposed to be 25. But, don't laugh when I say I feel like I'm supposed to be 25. Come on. I feel like I'm supposed to be 25, but I'm not. Those years are gone. And the closer I get to the light, the more I realize the reality. And the same thing goes when we walk in the light. And God loves us. He has the ability to love us, watch, forever. Do you realize this? Now, we shouldn't abuse this because God forbid, shall we sin that grace may abound? No. But there is nothing you can do that puts you outside the realm of God's love. In his love, he chastens whom he loves. So we do wrong, we might get a whooping because he loves us. But the fact is, he still loves us. Jeremiah 31:3, the Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I've loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. When I was growing up, there was always a bunch of kids in the neighborhood, and there were a few that, no matter what would happen, if I got together with these people, I'd get myself in trouble. Can you imagine my mom, and she did, would welcome those kids in our house. And, you know, Gladys always had some cookies, something to drink, and every kid in the neighborhood knew that they were welcome in our house. Now she could be talking to. She even gave them the gospel a time or two. She drew them with her love. He says, you know what? Because I've loved you with an everlasting love, therefore with loving kindness I have drawn thee. You know, when he draws us to him, he's just drawing more problems. You know what I'm saying? You know? But because he loves us, he says, I change not, therefore Jacob's not consumed. Right? I would have gotten rid of those boys a long time ago if I didn't love them. And the fact is, there's some of us who are probably in this room saying, I've messed up. By now, God's up to here, and I'm done. I've had my chance. I'm no sense in going to him and asking forgiveness because he's done. No, see, God's not you. If we confess our sins, he's still faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You ought to go ahead and let him do it because he already paid for it on the cross. So you might as well take advantage of it. Yeah, but I've done this and this and this. I knew, but he knew you were to do this and this and this when he died on the cross for you. He has everlasting love. He will never give up on you. He's merciful. Listen, why will he let all things be possible? Because of his character. He's merciful. He blesses us because of his mercy. I don't have time to go through it, but you go back and read Psalm 136 sometime this week. And it says, he put the sun in the sky because he's merciful. He does this, he gives us food. You know, he gives us this, he gives because he's merciful. So what does that mean? We don't deserve to have breath to breathe this morning. We don't deserve to have the garden come up in the backyard. We don't deserve to have the sun shining on us. And yet he does it out of his mercy. Every single thing, every good and perfect gift comes from the Father of lights, from above, with whom there's no variableness or shadow of turning. If it's good, it's from him. And if it's from him, then it's because of his mercy. Because we don't deserve any of it. We forget. We get kind of proud. But the fact is, God has the right to put out our light. Lamentations 3:21 says, this I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I have hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. Why are all things possible? Because he's merciful. His compassions, they fail not. I think sometimes old Satan says, well, I know that with God all things are possible, but you don't really think God would do anything for you, you dirty, rotten sinner. Now, the fact is, we're dirty, rotten sinners. And I'm not justifying it. We ought to go and confess it and forsake it and have mercy. But the fact is, he's willing to give us that mercy so that all things are still possible. Well, I blew it. Well, he knew you were going to blow it. He already paid for that. He's already said, I knew that he was going to mess up, but I knew that he was going to confess. So I've already got things in the works. So when he gets to this part in his life, it's already ready because I knew he was going to confess and I can give him mercy. He's prepared it. He's merciful. He's truth. Truth. When he says all things are possible, you know what that means? All things are possible. Deuteronomy 32:4 says, he is the rock, his work is perfect, for all his ways are judgment, a God of truth, and without iniquity, just and right is he.
Now, if all things are not possible, and that the fact is that's not the truth, then he's a liar. But he's without iniquity. He lies not. Psalm 57:1 says, "Be merciful unto me, O God, be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpast. I'll cry unto God most high, unto God that performeth all things for me. He shall send from heaven, shall save me from the reproach of him that would swallow me up." Selah says, think about this. God shall send forth his mercy and his truth. Do you ever feel like you've been misquoted, misused, abused, falsely accused? God knows all about it. Well, I want him to do something now. Well, the fact is he may know where the timing is supposed to be. Now, he could change it, but he also knows in his love. He tempers that with his love and does what's best. Okay? But God can do something about it. He knows all about it. There may be a time in your life where everybody's accusing you and you think, well, no one in the world is ever going to believe me. God believes you. If it's truth, he believes you. You just stay in truth. Don't get your nose dirty trying to do something against somebody else, get vengeance or anything else. God knows truth. Our hope is to be in him. Psalm 86:14 says, "O God, the proud are risen against me, and the assemblies of violent men have sought after my soul and have not set thee before them. But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering, and plenteous in mercy and truth." God knows what's going on. Whole world's falling in around you. Exodus 34:1 says, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Moses, hew thee two tables of stone like unto the first, and I will write upon these tables the words that were in the first, which thou breakest. And be ready in the morning, and come up in the morning unto Mount Sinai, and present thyself there to me in the top of the mount. And no man shall come up with thee, neither let any man be seen throughout all the mount. Neither let the flocks and the herds feed before that mount." And he hewed two tables of stone like in the first, and Moses rose up early in the morning and went up unto Mount Sinai, as the Lord had commanded him. And took in his hand the two tables of stone, and the Lord descended in a cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children's children, unto the third, the fourth generation. And Moses made haste and bowed his head toward the earth and worshiped. And he said, if now I have found grace in thy sight, O Lord, let my Lord, I pray thee, go among us. Go among us, for it is a stiff-necked people. And pardon our iniquity and our sin, and take us for thine inheritance. And he said, behold, I make a covenant before all thy people. I will do marvels such as have not been done in the earth, nor in any nation. And all the people among which thou art shall see the work of the Lord, for it is a terrible thing that I will do with thee, a mighty thing. What's he saying there? All things are possible. He says, I'm going to do something with you. But you listen, I will be among you. But for him to be among them, they have to be among him. And when they walk away from him, then they're no longer next to God. And the fact is, all things are possible, but we have to be with God. He's holy, he's righteous, he's just, and he will not compromise those things. So that's the character of God. But what's it mean when we walk with somebody? Number two, walking with God. Genesis 5:24 says this, and my son did this back in the fall. It says, "And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him." He says, that word took means to take with the sense of accepting and mingling with him. He says, God took Enoch. All we know, we don't know a whole lot about Enoch, but he walked with God and God took him. God accepted him. God mingled with him. I've heard the preacher, I think it was Jack Howells, used to say, one day they were walking and Enoch and God walked so close together, one day they got so far away that God finally said, well, I tell you what, instead of us going back to your house, let's go to my house instead. I think that we can come to the point where we have such a sweet fellowship. Now, wait a minute. In the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve were allowed to walk with God in the coolness of the day. But this was after the Garden of Eden. The flaming the swords of the cherubim stood outside the Garden of Eden. They weren't allowed to go back in and get to the tree of life. This was a couple generations after that. And the fact is, Enoch walked with God. You know what I'm saying? It's possible to walk with God. Elijah was a man of like passions such as we, and yet he walked with God, and God did great and mighty things, and he went up in a chariot of fire. Let me give you a couple definitions here.
Now, can you hear me? All right. Now, I know this sounds kind of silly to do that. You know why he couldn't hear me? Could you hear what I was saying? You know why? You were closer. Now, that wasn't his fault. I was picking on Wayne. But the fact is, when we walk close to the Lord, we're going to be able to understand what he's saying. Some of us want to say, I'm with God, but we haven't walked with Him for years. When's the last time you woke up in the morning you actually prayed to the Lord God? Maybe simply, good morning, Lord, we've got another day. Boy, I'm going to need you. This is a big one today. I know it. When's the last time you went to bed and said, you know, Lord, I kind of blew it. Than that. What? I gotta go talk to my wife and make it right?
Oh, my soul. All right.
Have you ever had somebody know that you messed up and you're having a conversation and they know you messed up and you know that they know you messed up and you're standing there and the person you offended or whatever is standing there and you're talking as if nothing happened and you know that they know what's going on. It's kind of hard, isn't it? Trying to pretend it didn't happen and you know that you messed up. Well, you know what? When you walk with God, God's right there over your shoulder. He's always there, but you're practicing the presence of God. And you realize, listen, that's why you're supposed to live in the fear of God. But we don't need to live in the fear of man. We should have respect. But I tell you what, you live in the fear of God, that changes a lot of things we do when we're walking with God. That word with, when Enoch walked with God, you know what that means? It means nearness. How was he walking? In nearness to God. Right by him, among him. It kind of means up against him. When Hannah came up here to sing this morning, I thought, hope everybody knows that Mr. Jagger's her husband, because he was standing there and she. I'm not saying you should have done this. I just hope they all know this. And so she kind of snuggled right up to him, you know, and she waited till it was her turn to sing, you know, up against. That's a good thing. By the way, you ought to be up against your spouse. There's nothing wrong. In fact, I've told folks, I don't care if you put your arm around your wife in church. Doesn't bother me. Now, you start smooching and start hearing those kind of things. I don't want to do that. But it's nothing wrong to be close to her. That we're in this thing together. Right? We're in this thing together. I don't have any problem with that. Well, you know what? There's someone who loves our soul even more than our spouse.
And we shouldn't be letting a whole lot of space. We ought to be right up against it. So we ought to walk with God, shoulder to shoulder, right up against him. In fact, the New Testament word, when it talks about walking with God, it means near, from beside, in the same proximity. There is a place of quiet rest near to the heart of God, a place where sin cannot molest, near to the heart of God. Listen, right next to him. And it says he walked with God. That word walked has the idea to walk along at the same pace, not behind him, not getting ahead of him. It means to behave yourself. It means to walk continually on, to be conversant with, to walk abroad with. When he goes somewhere out on the limb, you go out with him. In fact, it means, it has a little phrase there, to want to haunt. And I'm not someone, ooh, I'm not talking about that, you know, but it's an old word. Used to say, well, I used to, when I was a kid, that was one of my old haunts. That was some place where I rendezvoused. That was a place where I hung out. You know what? You ought to hang out with God. We run together. Where he goes, I go. To be at the same point. In other words, we should be willing to walk with God. How about this? Even when no one else is willing. Genesis 6:5 says, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth and grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repented me that I have made them. But Noah, in the eyes of the Lord." It says, these are the generations of Noah. That word generation is different than it comes in a second here. That word generation there means this is the bunch he descended from. Who? The ones who did evil. He was living in a world where evil thoughts was on their mind all the time. That was where he came from. Now wait a minute. You say, well, how in the world are we supposed to live with God in a world like this? Kids, you may be able to say, well, you know what? How can I live with God when my parents don't? Noah had a whole world not living with God, not walking with God. But he found grace in the eyes because he did it anyway. He said, well, I grew up in a family that was always a mess. That's my excuse. Well, it's not an excuse. You're a different person. You can walk with God. And Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Those were the generations. That was the people he descended from. Then it says, Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. That word generation means the age, the era in which he lived. So, my daddy was a drunk, and his daddy was a drunk, and his daddy was a drunk, so I guess I'm a drunk. You don't have to be. Because with God, all things are possible. You start walking with him, I'll guarantee you they were drunk, they weren't walking with him. I'm not trying, listen, and there's a lot of folks, I'm not trying to condemn them because we're all sinners, but the fact is, you can get with him and you can have something new. Somebody has to stop the cycle, and it can be you. So they say, well, that's where I came from. Well, that's the first generation. The second generation is, listen, this is what I'm living in, the age, the era in which he lived. And it says, and Noah walked with God. Going down the end here, aren't we? Let me give you two more, and I'll have to start with this next week. We cannot be walking with God if we're not walking where God walks. We cannot be walking with God if we don't walk where God walks. Look at 1 John 1 real quick. I love the promise, with God all things are possible. But we cannot leave off the with God part. I think there's people say, well, if I serve real hard in the church, all things are possible. Do you realize you can do all kinds of things in the church and not walk with God? Walking with God is a heart thing. It's a heart thing. I think sometimes people, I do so much at the church that they can't get along without me, so they're going to give me an extra in. Now I'm all for folks joining church and serving, and I'm not upset with folks who want to make their service, that's their hobby. I mean, we got some folks around here, they're serving the Lord, that's their hobby. There's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that at all. Nothing at all. But if we're not careful, we'll say, well, I did this and this and this and this and this and this and this in the service of the Lord, so he ought to cut me some slack. Listen, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto him, which is your... Why should he cut us slack for doing a reasonable service? We owe him everything. 1 John 1, 5 says, this then is the message which we have heard of him. 1 John 1, 5. And declare unto you, watch, that God is light. And in him is, look what it says, no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him, we're walking along with him, and walk in darkness, liar, liar, pants on fire, and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, that we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. And if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and the word's not in us. No, I know I've done this with you before, but the fact is, we've got to learn this, and some of us still haven't learned that. You cannot walk in the dark and walk with Christ. Now, I understand there's not this line where all of a sudden everything was light and everything was dark. I understand that. Everything's dark, everything's light, and there's kind of a progressiveness, if you will. But the fact is, if he's where there is absolutely no darkness, the darker place that I walk, the further I am from him. Right? Before long, God's trying to talk to us, but we don't understand why we can't understand what he said, because we're not anywhere near him. God says a still small voice speaking to our heart, saying, Sterling, don't do that. But we're walking in darkness and all this junk is going on. We can't hear. Sterling, don't do that. We got ourselves so distracted from all the things in the world, loving the mammon of the world. We can't serve mammon and God too. And so we're walking, we're hearing all this. We got our mind built. Listen, I'll tell you what. Good people have to have noise all the time to distract them from reality. I think some people are just as addicted to the noise and sometimes so-called music as they are to drugs, because they got to have this stuff going on all the time. Because you know what? If it gets quiet, it gets real. And when it gets real, we don't like what we're hearing, because there's something we got to do about with where we are. And so, you know what? We stay away from the light. We get into the shadows. That's why on Valentine's Day you go to some place where they have dark lights, and everybody looks good. You can assume they look good. You can't see what they... Now, actually, I think what they do is so you can't see the prices on the menu, because then when it actually comes, oh, my soul was... Hey, get out of the light. I paid that much for my dinner. My soul. Anyway, walk in the light. Walk close to him. Let me give you one more. Micah 6:6. Old Testament. Micah 6:6. You say, we're taking forever to get to the all things are possible. I know. But if I go directly to all things are possible, we're not going to have all things possible. Because if we skip over the with God part, the all things are possible doesn't work. The promise is no longer there. Micah. Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi. Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum. Is that right? That's right. Yeah. She teaches the first, second, third graders. I thought maybe it said something wrong. I thought she would tell me it said something wrong. I think I got this one. Micah 6:6. Wherewith shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves of a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams or with 10,000s of rivers of oil? He says, if I just do all the right things, if I just fulfill all the rituals, do all the things I'm supposed to, stand up when I'm supposed to, sit down, I don't do this, I don't do that, and I keep all the rituals. He says, is that how I'm going to come before the Lord? Then it says, shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? Well, who's going to die for the sins of his firstborn's soul? He says, he hath, verse 8, he hath showed thee, O man, what is good. And what doth the Lord require thee? But to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. To walk humbly with thy God. Can you imagine? I know this is, it might be difficult. Can you imagine walking into glory and seeing what it's going to be like? To be able to go up to the throne and see the nail-pierced hands where the spear went into the side and the feet. Wouldn't it be just really cool if you walked in there and Jesus just put his arm around? By the way, your back won't hurt by that time. And no, it'll all be gone, you know. And he puts his arm around your shoulder and says, J.R., I want to show you some things. Here, I got something I want to show you. And he shows you all around glory. What a humbling experience. I think when we stand there, we're going to realize how much mercy it took to allow us in that door. How little we deserved, because we didn't deserve any of it. And yet how sincerely and passionately he loves us. I don't know about you, there's been a couple times in my life where somebody who was very important to me put their hand on my shoulder and said, Sterling, you know, I've been praying for you. I mean, I'm a preacher, so you know how it is. But sometimes it's these preachers, you know, you hear them, they're all over the country, and they preach all the big conferences and so forth and so on. And I remember a couple times, you know, they came up to me and Sterling, you know, I don't know why I was thinking about you this week. And sometimes I'll get a text, and it says, praying for you. Hoping the Lord's going to give you a good day. I'll get something from California or from Kentucky or Florida. Praying you're going to have a good day. We're praying the Lord's going to bless. How humbling that is. But think about how humbling it is when the creator of the universe knows everything. He said, can you imagine walking down there saying, do you remember when you were 5? And this happened. I sent an angel down there and they pulled you out from neither before you got really... Listen, there's a couple times I dated Jen. Well, a couple times I dated her. When we were running around together, there was a couple times when I would spend a little too much time at her house and it'd be late. And I'm driving home when I was going to college at the same time, you know. And so help me. I think an angel smacked me on the shoulder just as I was starting to roll off. It's kind of like, I didn't hear the noises. Maybe you think that's weird enough, but so help me. I think he sent somebody down there to smack me on the shoulder and wake me up. He thought about me. But do you realize you can walk with him here and sense his sweet presence here and know that your hope is in him here? But that doesn't happen when we don't walk where he walks. We've got to walk where he walks. Run where he runs. Haunt the places that he haunts, if you will. To rub shoulders with him. To spend time with him. Listen to what he has to say. And the fact is, he says, listen, you can do all the religion you want. But you know what I want? What I really want you to do is, says, I want you to walk in truth, and I want you to walk in mercy, and justly, and just humbly before thy God. Walk humbly with thy God, with God. I think sometimes we need to get serious about our relationship with God. Stop worrying about the all things are possible. Focus on the with God. And the all things are possible come with a deal. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things shall be added unto you. Walk with thy God. Father, thank you for your word, for speaking to us here this morning. Lord, I know that there's all kinds of different things going on in the hearts of our people, but you know what they are. Now, Lord, I pray that you'll bless at this time. This is the most important time. Heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. The most important